tropical storm weather, so amen. Work your way to 1 Samuel chapter 25. There's a lot of ground to cover today. We are going to cover it fast, and cover it hard.
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 25. I will see you guys after tonight, again on the 4th of July at my house, marking the 6th year anniversary of the arrival of the Aureluses. On the 4th of July is when I'll next see you. So amen. Hello, Miss Sharon. Aha! There are times when God finally lets us go with messages that He has been waiting to say, and I guess when the time is right, the time is right. So women, you are highly valued today. Boys, you are completely busted. That's just how it is. And boy, it's been a long time coming, isn't it, since it's been said the way it really is. It'll be said today. So, we'll just plunge right in. You're working your way to 1 Samuel chapter 25. Our title is Tell It Out, Sister. That's Tell It Out, comma, Sister, exclamation point. Got all that? I'm reminded in Luke chapter 7 of a woman who was a widow, who lost her only son, who was in a coffin. Jesus came upon the scene and saw this widow, having lost her only son, who's already in a coffin. And the Bible says of Jesus in Luke 7 that his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." And I know a lot of women have put up with a lot of craziness. I want you to know, ladies, particularly wives today, but I want you to know, ladies, that this is not a ministry of men, but a ministry of God. And therefore, in this ministry, the ministry of the truth, women are not second-class citizens. Women are not supposed to be quiet and go do laundry and eventually die and maybe see how you do before God. You know, you're going to have to read your Bibles. I'm aware of what the Bible says, but you're not aware of your Bible. And things must dramatically change in the way women act and the way men view women in the church. May it change today. And sisters, as you tell it out, I rebuke today the idea that wives get their husbands in trouble. That is a pervasive attitude of the hearts of lame brain husbands. That my wife is getting me in trouble. Your wife is saving your soul, but you are so dull and such an idiot, and your Bible has more dust on it than all your other gadgets, that you wouldn't know that. And I rebuke today the idea that men can scare women into being quiet. Boys, if your wife is afraid of you, and some of yours are afraid of you, there is a millstone being crafted with your name inscribed on it, and it will be around your neck, and you'll be joining the 300-year-old lobsters who have not yet been caught on the bottom of the sea in accordance with what Jesus said, and that millstone will take you out for those who cause any of these little ones who believe in me to sin. And your weak-willed wife succumbs to your brutish attitudes and your abusive nature, and that has only resulted in a millstone being prepared for you that you may rest on the bottom of the sea with the dead fishes and the dead carcasses. That's what you're earmarked for. You may think you're big and bad because the missus doesn't mess with you. Scripturally, it's just not the case. Scripturally, your millstone is waiting. And may the Spirit be rejuvenated in the houses today. Far too much ground to cover today. We're going to give it a whirl here in the tropical storm. 1 Samuel 25. The first item we're going to cover in Tell It Out, Sister, is revelation from God. All right, that's item number one. Revelation from God comes from women cover to cover. cover in the Bible. An example. In 1 Samuel 25, David is taking care of a very rich but surly man named Nabal. His wife, and just hang in there with me. Oh, I know this story. I want you to get this message, not the story, all right? David has been done an injustice in return for his kindness to Nabal. King David is mounting his hundreds of men, and they're going to go kill all the men of Nabal. In verse 22 of 1 Samuel 25, David speaking, God's anointed. David says, "May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him!" Exclamation point. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. Abigail is Nabal's wife. She fell at his feet and said, "My lord, let the blame be on me alone. Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. May my lord pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is capital F, fool, and folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my master sent." Verse 22. David saying, "May God deal with David." This is pretty formal, so it's pretty serious. "May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him." A revelation from God that Abigail provides, and it's all throughout the Bible if you'd actually read it and get it, is that Nabal and the men in his family, the men up and down his lineage, and the men who worked for him, and there are many, all have a death sentence on their head. A death sentence is on their head. Some of my brothers have wrath on their head. They may have a millstone being crafted at this hour for them. They have wrath from heaven. They may have expulsion ahead. There may be no stopping it. The wheels may have come off. And your wife knows it. But she wouldn't want to upset you, because you're a little girl, man. Your wife knows it when it is not right. She knows this is not right. This is not good. This is not what you say on Saturday and Tuesday. Boy, this isn't what I hear you confess when it's time to get open about being enticed or worse. What in the world do you do at Brothers Night from 7 p.m. to 2:30 a.m.? That is 7.5 hours. That is a work day. You haven't gotten this in the light. Good questions, right, sisters? The reality is that Nabal unknowingly, like many of the men unknowingly, has a death sentence on his head, and his wife, like many of the wives, is aware of it. And she is alone in being aware of it. Verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. Ladies, please let me empower you today. She bowed down before David with her face to the ground. You know, humility is an option. You don't have to whine. Submission to the scriptures and submission to God and submission to your husband is an option. You don't have to fight. The ground has been preached for years, and this ministry is a good place to be. It's possible for you to get there. The forces of gravity alone will get you there if you don't continue to resist. Verse 24. She fell at his feet and said, "My lord, let the blame be on me alone. Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say." Abigail is familiar with the scriptures, the very early scriptures of Genesis 2, that husband and wife are one. And though she would be right in saying, "You know, David, boy, it's a real bummer being married to Nabal. You know, Can I be one of your servant girls? She acknowledges and submits not only to David, who is going to be king and is clearly God's anointed. She submits to the scriptures in humility and submission without grumbling or whining. She comes with no needs of her own, though her needs must be plentiful and overwhelming. You can imagine, married to a capital F fool. And she falls to her feet and says, "Let the blame be on me alone." Taking responsibility for the fact that we'll see a little more later that husband and wife are one. One. And she knows that though it may seem unfair and though it may not seem right, scripturally it is fine for her to say and to live with the consequences of "Let the blame be on me alone. We are one, and I ride that train to hell or heaven, whichever it goes, however it goes, chop my head off, kill me first, let the blame be on me alone." What a noble woman. Women, you could really move God's heart. You could really be something in the kingdom of God if you have the attitude of a woman of God. It is possible. Instead of all this old worldly way of dealing in marriages, you could really be a woman of God, non-needy, submissive, and humble, and taking on the responsibility of the scriptures and the facts the way the facts are. She says in verse 25, "May my Lord pay no attention to that wicked man, Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is Fool. And folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my master sent." No excuses. I didn't see them, David. Maybe if I'd have paid attention, maybe if I would have been more alert, more awake, maybe if I would have just been more, I would have seen them. She confesses, "Hey, I missed them. You know, I didn't hate them, but I did miss them." You do that? You know, sin, grace, and blame was preached for a long, long time ago, and it's possible to take the blame that's yours. And she does. Ladies, she does. But revelations precede that. "May my Lord pay no attention to that wicked man, Nabal." Sisters, wives, you've got it in you. You got to say it. Revelation from heaven: David Nabal is not a guy to pay attention to. That's just the deal. That is locked and loaded. That deal is sealed. Heaven has come and heaven has said no, and Nabal is hardened. It's over. David, you need pay no attention to that wicked man, Nabal. His wickedness is revealed. No one knows it better than Abigail does. He is just like his name. His name is Fool. That's what it stands for, capital F, Fool. And folly goes with him. Revelation, he is exactly what his name says he is, and folly goes with him, as we would expect. The way God has set it up and orchestrated it is absolutely accurate and true, and a revelation I'm just letting you know. You don't need to get with Nabal, discuss it with Nabal, sit down, map it out, graph it out, get some historical biographical data. This is just the deal. Sisters, wives, you have revelations from heaven in you. You could tell it out like this woman tells it out. These are the facts. She does not whine or complain. She is not needy or in want. She says it the way it is, and God backs her up. God's favor is with her, and God uses her to say it the way it is. You really need to be like that. You have in your heart, and it is possible for you to have in your mouth, and scripturally, there's your example, to say what must be said about the head of your household. And you need to say, you need not worry about your goofy husband. Because your goofy husband may think this is a ministry of men, and he's about to find out it really wasn't. And you need to let go of the idea that you're getting your husband in trouble. Prophets are rebuked as being false and worthless in what they say in Lamentations 2:14. because they do not expose people's sin to ward off their captivity. Wives, you have an opportunity to expose godlessness and sin to ward off the captivity of your entire household. And you've been given the revelations. You do not have to stand up here and preach, not your gig. You don't have to stand up here and teach, not your gig. You don't have to lead, not your gig. Wow, must be nice. But you have got to share the revelations from heaven that your household may be saved. This woman told it out. I'm reminded of a couple examples also in the Bible. Mark it down, read your Bible, shake the dust off, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes that some from Chloe's household, yes, Chloe and her household, she's the head of that household, rest assured there's not a man in it. Some from Chloe's household have informed Paul that there are divisions in the church. Thank you, Chloe's household, for letting me, Paul, know what's really going on in Corinth and in the Corinthian church. I'm about to fire out 29 chapters and a couple letters to them, and that's very useful information. Later in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says that he hears that when the church comes together, there are divisions in the church, and to some extent he says, I believe it. Information along with what he already got from Chloe's household. And it's like when you come together to take the Lord's Supper, when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. Tell it out, sister, you will save entire churches. The Corinthian church had many problems. There might not even be a Bible today. Had Chloe's household and Chloe herself in leading it not told it out, there'd be no 2 Corinthians. We didn't make it that far. That church went by the wayside. Peter took a denomination. Apollos took a denomination. Paul abandoned his denomination. Those people made up their own stuff. And the church in Corinth ended. Could have been, right? Could have been. Tell it out, sister. There's nothing to lose and so much that's needed. Esther chapter 4. Esther is right before Job. The breeze is kind of nice. Pat says yes. I'll go with that. I won't ask anyone else. Chapter 4. Item number 2, ladies. In telling it out, it must be said. Item number 2, it must be said. Item number 1 is revelation from God, just sorely needed. But revelation from God is great. You know, I see so many brothers over the years. Not so much currently, for God does not give to those who do not give. But over the years, so many brothers who would get insight and revelation, and they would save those revelations until it was their turn to preach, maybe, so that they would have something to preach. Now they have nothing to preach. Revelation is great, but number 2, it must be said. In Esther chapter 4, Esther is in the king's palace. Esther is married to the king. The whole land, all the Jews in the land are going to be killed. There's a bunch of shenanigans, and if you were interested, you could read Esther chapters 1 through 4, and you would know what I'm talking about. But all the Jews are going to be killed. Esther's pretending not to be a Jew. She is a queen. Her uncle slash father type figure is writing back and forth to her, trying to urge her to go to the king and say, look, you can't kill all these people because you got a henchman who's a goofball and doesn't know stuff. Because the law is that you can't go to the king, Esther. You sit there and be quiet. And when the king wants you, he'll come get you. So you just shut up. Esther is a godly woman, but she is torn. She is to be killed if she goes to the king. Everyone is to be killed if she doesn't go to the king. What to do? The question will always come down to, what would God have me do? And that's where you're going to have to be in your Bible, or you're not going to know. Esther is resistant to go to the king. Mordecai, her uncle slash father, writes her one last time in verse 13. He sent back this answer. This is what Mordecai says to Esther. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows? But the Jew have come to royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Sisters, wives particularly, you have got to say it. I believe it is easier not to say it and then hide behind scriptures that you misunderstand and wimpy men twist and distort to keep you misunderstanding. So that you sit there like a lump on a log, barely if ever participating in the true grace of God in the body of Jesus. Mordecai in verse 13. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. Wives, I appeal to you. Do not think that because you're married to a dull man, that hiding in his palace and hiding behind his obvious dullness, you will escape. It isn't going to happen. It's just not happening. Your man is dull, and you are here to help him, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone will escape. Do not think that because your husband is duller than you, stupider than you, more selfish than you, lazier than you, that you will escape. I'm sorry, man. This is a pretty godly man that you might want to pay attention to here in Mordecai. Well, I'm not really familiar with him. I know. You may want to pay a little bit of attention because he's laying the wood right here. And you see, you got a godly woman out of it pretty quickly. Do not think you can hide in your house, shrug your shoulders as the weaker submissive partner. I'm not the head. I don't know. You'll have to talk to hubby. Really, you playing that? Yeah, Sharif, he's brand new. He's laughing already, man. The rest of you are like busted. Thinking, man, I used to be like Sharif. Bible used to be cool before I got dusty. Do not think. I'm telling you, your children, your husband, people you profess to love, and Jesus who you said is Lord one day are all at stake in this. You're going to sit there and just kind of be... You show me some women that did, I'm listening. At the end of 2 Peter, you know, he said that men distort Paul's letters as they do the other scriptures. Don't let people distort what the godly women in the Bible actually do and did. Verse 14, Mordecai goes on, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish, and who knows, but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Ladies, you paid your dues and you've done your time, but you know what? We're moving into a new era. Call it this time. For if you remain silent at this time, it is game time. Some of my brothers are in disastrous condition spiritually. Women, it's time. It's time. And I'll tell you this. There's much to be done, and the workers are few and seem to be getting fewer. and relief and deliverance for God's people will arise from another place. I'm not appealing to you for me. I'm not even appealing to you for God. I will join God and we'll get done His will with or without you. Hey? Well, that's a real kick in the pants, isn't it? It's like, for if you remain silent this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, Esther. We'll just do it without you. But you and your father's family will perish. Down you went. Didn't know. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. Some of you have been married a long time. Some of you have been in Christ a long time. And who knows, wink, wink, for we all know, that you got married, and many of you got married under weird circumstances and weren't even sure why you got married. But you got married. And you ended up in the kingdom of God. And Esther ended up in the king's palace as the queen. And who knows, wink, wink, but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. It has all been orchestrated to get to this time where you tell it out, sister. At this time. We've bided our time. We've tolerated. We've patiently endured. It is time. You got to say it. It must be said, and it's time. Right? See, this is beautiful. Because I know God has given revelation to the hearts and minds of wives as to the status and the state of their households. And it'd be easier just not to look. And it is time to say it. Verse 15, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. So this is like a godly woman. Ladies, if you're struggling, your problem will somewhat be attributed to your husband. There's no doubt about that. And we'll cover some of that. And that's in the Bible. We're not going to read the whole Bible today. But, ladies, you get a relationship with God, your husband is no problem. You don't, big old bozo husband's a real problem. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. You could similarly reply, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Maybe you're also tripped up by the scriptures, you know, in the day. Back in the day, in the Bible, we read about it. When people were fasting, you know, it's like, what's wrong, Trey? Oh, fast. How long have you been fasting? Oh, since noon. Nana, can I have your chair? You know, and so Jesus had to say, and God had to say, you know, I mean, come on. You know, don't disfigure your face, and, you know, don't fail to oil yourself up. How come you're looking so ashy? I'm fasting. That's why you're ashy? I don't get it. I mean, God's got that covered. It's like, I'm just going to roll out of bed and head to ministry. What's up? Fasting. But look, fasting's in the Bible. I think it'd be powerful. You look at this. Esther tells Mordecai and all the Jews in Susa to fast for her. She then says that she and all her maids will fast also. You know, it's probably okay. It's not a big Fort Knox secret. What you're doing. What you're doing it for. And you can, again, distort those scriptures and think, oh, it's a big secret. You may fast alone. You may fast with others. But it'd be all right to be open about what you're doing. But I don't hear a lot about that. And I think a lot's not going on. I will go to the king when this is done, even though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish. If you don't have that attitude, I guarantee you, you will stop short of this message, ladies. If you perishing because of the Bible is not good enough for you, you will stop short of telling it out, sister. And then we'll put you right next to the old brothers that have run into their obstacle course wall and look up at it and have dug in the ground and have resolved that this is enough of the Bible for them. And that'll be that. I think some women have some potential. And I want to just take the restrictors off and the harnesses off, the bit and bridle your husband put in off, the distorted scriptures that people put in off, break those chains free, get you running a race with perseverance that's the Bible. You can mix in a little attitude, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to risk my heart and soul, my life and my soul for my husband and my children and my ministry and my God. Tell me the guy who's going to come mess with you. It must be said. Not going there, but in 1 Peter 3, verse 6. You are Sarah's daughter. If you do what is right and do not give way to fear. That's a scripture for the girls, okay? Wow, all this in the Bible? I thought the only thing in the Bible had to do with girls. It had to do with like laundry and cooking and being nice and shutting up. That's the book of someone else. Nice try, though. But 1 Peter 3, 6 says, you are Sarah's daughters if you do what is right. So consult the Bible. Make sure you're doing what's right. And do not give way to fear. Esther had an opportunity to give way to fear. No, I can't do it. It's too much. God will have to do it the other way he spoke of. Sorry. You are called not to give way to fear. You have a brutish, abusive husband. In word, in deed, in attitude, in thought, whatever, however he is, whatever, right? You gonna give way to fear? No, you've got to tell it out. That's the Bible, Old Testament and New, right? The New Testament even quoting Sarah of the Old Testament. Good stuff for you. Luke chapter 8. All right, we're gonna scoot along here. The Aquilas, by the way, went all the way to New Jersey, nonstop yesterday.
Wow.
So they're in New Jersey waiting for us. And then the Meritados are going to hook up with us in Atlanta. Anybody for Toronto?
Get your hands.
Luke 8. Sisters, I want to give you some confidence. These are things you already know. Things you already know. But you may not know that they're in the Bible. Because I thought the Bible just said be quiet. Luke chapter 8. Jesus has some women hanging with him. Some of the women in verse 3. One of the women is Joanna, the wife of Cusa, who is the manager of Herod's household. Susanna is another woman, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Wow. Let's check this out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. All right. Herod, Jesus called a fox. Some sly, slick politician type. Herod had orders executed to have John the Baptist beheaded. So John the Baptist comes and proclaims the deal. Herod has his head cut off. The manager of that whole operation is Cusa. He manages the house, makes sure the food stock, makes sure everything's taken care of, makes sure Herod's happy. You can imagine what a loser Cusa is, right? Cusa runs the show for Herod, who's a total goofball. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, travels with Jesus. still love you, you're great. Sorry. Oh, that's just wrong.
My. I want to give you some confidence, sisters. If you really search the scriptures, if your husband is an unbeliever or is a believer only in name, you certainly aren't required scripturally to follow his leadership. Joanna is the example of that. Jesus certainly doesn't rebuke Joanna, as we'll see. She's with him for the duration. And that must take something, man. It must take something to publicly humiliate Herod and the leader of Herod's household for years. Two chapters prior to this, the 12 were appointed. Joanna's already on the scene and helping support Jesus and his disciples and following along and doing it all with her own means. It wasn't like, oh, that Kuzma man, he didn't give me a dollar last week. Jesus, you have a dollar? No. Joanna actually helped Jesus and the disciples and supported them and her out of her own means. What does this ministry cost you in dollars and cents? What does this ministry cost you in dollars and cents? Shameful, isn't it? Shameful. Well, I don't give dollars and cents. I give Fritos. Fritos. And gas prices gone up and I got here today. You burn that gas, right? I mean, what do you give this ministry in dollars and cents? What does this ministry cost you in dollars and cents? Here is Joanna not only standing up to the king for years, but standing up to her husband, a bozo who runs the king's household and manages it and leads it. But then follows Jesus and supports Jesus and his work and his ministry and takes care of herself with her own means. My hope, sisters, is that you will get some confidence that you can actually be somebody. My hope is that you'll get some confidence that you are not subject to the rest of your life to Bozo the Clown. You're just not. You're not subject to laziness and stupidity and dullness and boyish behavior. Boyish behavior. Your men are boys. It's obvious to me. It's obvious to you. Joanna didn't stand for it. You don't need to stand for it. But you come with attitude, you're going out. You come with needs, you're going out. Okay? You come with wants and preferences, you're out. You're no better than your husband. But it is possible to be more than a bozo husband. It is possible to actually participate with Jesus in Jesus' ministry, even in his day, out of your own means and hang with him and God to protect you from the king who's killing all the little children and who is also beheading John the Baptist and on the lookout for Jesus. And it is possible for you to oppose them publicly for a couple of years and survive because God's with you and you have God's favor. And you're afraid of Bozo? Luke 24. See, you already know this, sisters. You already know what we're going to read too, though you may not know it's in the Bible. Luke 24, Jesus has been crucified and buried and has resurrected. The ladies who are a little quicker and Johnny on the spot and have a heart to serve keep going back and forth to the tomb. And they've been there and back and all of a sudden Jesus isn't there. The disciples are like fishing. You know, and that's no shock, right? Your man would be fishing, right? What, honey? Verse 9, they come with a report that Jesus is not in the tomb. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others.
was Mary Magdalene. Joanna. That girl made it. You go, girl. Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Ladies, you know you are speaking the truth. You know you are simply saying it the way it is. And your goofy husband, who's Dolan's offense post, just thinks that's kind of nonsense. Amen. It's in the Bible. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. Not even the 11 know stuff. Joanna is better than the 11. Joanna has risen to spiritual heights beyond the 11. Joanna's been faithful to Jesus through and through. She didn't deny Jesus. He's dead and in the tomb, and she's taking spices. Then she's finding out the deal and going with the other girls to tell the 11. Nothing in ministry history has been as assailed and as spoken against and as ready for the chopping block and death and destruction and elimination and cancellation as ladies' night. And yet, the last thing to be canceled ever is going to be ladies' night. Because it's the only place we find anything out. It's the only place where revelations come. Because the evangelists and I preach, and we preach and teach our revelations. But the other brothers don't have revelations. And the only revelations coming out of their households are out of the mouths of the wives. Who, it's quite sensible. Isn't this obviously what's going on? They say at ladies' night. And for 7.5 hours, I guess we're talking about something else? I mean, I don't know. So they come tell the 11, Joanna in the group, verse 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Confidence, ladies, it's a good thing. When your husband says, honey, you're just talking stupid. That's nonsense. That's not right. You totally misunderstand. Confidence, ladies. You know the deal. And I'm talking particularly to wives, but even, you know, Kimmy G and Julie, you know the deal. I mean, Julie's emails on helping people is just delightful, man. Just so delightful. And it's just an orchestra. It's like, man. I mean, I read about women in the Bible, so I'm familiar with them. And then I see Julie write things like what I'm familiar with because I read my Bible. It's not so dusty. I mean, you know the deal. And when Nabal says, that's just nonsense. May verse 11 of Luke 24 give you confidence that God is with you. And you just tell it out. You let God judge it. But you shrink back. You give way to fear. You give up. God, it can't use that either. Because then God gives you over to fighting with your husband, arguing, being needy. But you just tell it out. You're unbeatable, and God will use you tremendously. I'm not reading this much good stuff about, like, Bartholomew and Thaddeus, right? And they were part of the 12. You know, Judas betrayed and hung himself, and Peter, you know, disowned. And Joanna's pretty impressive. And she had a bad gig with a bad household and a bad husband. And you could do that. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. Finishing that up. Getting you some confidence. Read Romans 16, girls. Look at the boys. They're going to read it too. Oh, yeah? It's not even for them, but they're going to write it down. Don't worry. You know as well as I do. They don't look at their notes again, so don't worry about it. But ladies, you actually read Romans 16, okay? You see the women in Romans chapter 16. I'll give you a couple of them. Priscilla, she risked her life for Paul. Wow!
you confidence. You can do stuff. I mean, you got to actually kind of participate for Paul to write that Priscilla risked her life for you. That's pretty serious. That's not very laundry-ish. Romans 16, another one. Rufus's mom. Rufus is a disciple. Verse 13. His mom, Paul says, was a mother to him also. That's involved. That's gritty. I see her taking it aside. Polly, you're not going to Jerusalem. It's not a good idea. You just stay here. We'll take care of you. Get your wounds dressed. Polly, you're not going to... No, I don't like it. You know, mothers have some authority. I tell Shauna Peeler, it's like, honey, you're mother of the ministry. You got some authority. Come on, ladies. You get spiritual. You can be mothers. Paul had a mother. It was Rufus's mom. Never heard of Rufus? Get some confidence about you. You know? Tell it out. God will mop it up. Genesis chapter 2, item number 4. You have got to get this down. You've got to get this down. You must know this. You must submit. Husband and wife are one. One. I'm telling you, there's only one house that lives that way. One. Genesis 2. Ladies, husband and wife are one. Even if your husband forgets or fumbles or lost track of Genesis 2, boy, we didn't get very far. So the earth got made and then we started stumbling. Even if your husband forgets that the husband and wife are one, which we'll read here in a minute, you could remember and act accordingly. You don't need permission to act according to the Bible. In Genesis 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. From way back when, the verdict is in. God took a look at man and said, wow, really not good for this guy to be alone. And what does your husband say? Man, if I was single, I could do this. You're so bright, man. I mean, boy, you're really sharp. You know, if it was just me and not the wife and kids, you know, this would be no problem. You know, oh, I agree. Yeah, you're really onto something. What kind of a bozo are you? The verdict was in Genesis 2. Right? And your husband say that. If it was just me to take care of, it'd be a lot easier and I wouldn't have all these, you know, distractions from living the Bible. And people put up with it. Oh, yeah, brother, me too. Welcome to Brother's Night. Oh, yes, brother, you know. Whoosh. That verdict came in a long time ago. And it came from God. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. That verdict is in. It'd be all right, girls, for you to remind your big, bad husband that that verdict has already sailed through the courts. So God makes a bunch of stuff and Adam names it. Verse 20. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Man, we're coming up empty here. You know, if it's just me and my dog, I'd be good. What did you just say? Just me and my dog. My dog loves me and shows me some appreciation. You didn't just say that, did you? Because we tried that in Genesis 2. The rhino?
No.
Camel?
No.
Dog? Fish? Bird?
No.
Cat? Hamster? Bearded dragon? Elephant? Monkey? Kind of human? We tried that. Boy, if my wife liked me like my dog liked me, I'd be a lot better off.
No, you wouldn't.
Right? Come the whole way, like, no, you're clearly wrong. Right? But I just, talk about about idle notions. That's Brother's Night. Here's an idle notion for you. Wow, I like that one, brother. I like it. You know, like, one of the things I was telling Shannon, I was like, somewhere in the ministry, some yeast wafted through a while back. I don't know how much of it's left. Probably some deep in the hearts of some people. And that was that you shouldn't have expectations. Don't have expectations. Expectations are not good. God has expectations. I have expectations. I'm called to have expectations. To whom much is given. That's a great idea. I won't have expectations. That makes my life easier. Your goal is not your life easier. But it just goes on and on and on. So, no suitable helper for Adam. And we're talking suitable helper. Ladies, have some confidence. You are one with your husband and you are the suitable helper. Don't let him talk you out of the Bible. So God makes woman. Verse 23, the man said, aha, real truthful words are spoken. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave, really, actually, leave, remember that now, his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. You live like you're flesh of my flesh? You live like you are one? Have you really left mom and dad? It occurred to me, you know, I've left mom and dad. The only thing left for me to do is love and honor mom and dad. But some of you are still managing mom and dad. Well, mom wanted to, and well, dad was thinking, and then mom called, well, your mom called, and she thought, and then they wondered. I'm like, wow, have you left mom and dad? You did get married, you know. You could leave mom and dad. You should have already done it. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. I don't know, Mom. I don't know, Mom. I don't get it either. Guess you just didn't grow up the way we did. I don't know. Look, leave. Hang in there. Get a little rainy. It won't be so bad. And they'll become one flesh. You're going to have to leave. There's nothing left for me to do but love and honor. Not manage, listen to, juggle, accommodate, make sure, ask, hear. Son. And by the way, you know, Papa's not my dad. He's our dad. Hey, we're one. He's our dad. I wish I had wheels and deals. She hooks Papa up with some good stuff. Because that's her dad. But in your house, well, honey, my mom said, who's mom? My mom. Who are you? I'm me, and you're you. Please. Not. You are one. You should live like it. Let me tell you why. This is not pretty, but it's true, all right? In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7, you will see the scripture that says that the woman is the glory of man. The woman is the glory of man. And you know, some women, wives, right? You're just so sensitive, right? You're so sensitive. It's like the duller the husband, the more sensitive the wife. I mean, it's what it takes to wake up a dull person. Right? It's just the Bible. It's like, things are bad. To show through the glory, things are bad. Very sensitive wife. Why so sensitive? A very dull husband. He doesn't understand anything. He thinks he's doing good. He thinks he's doing great. He thinks spiritually he's fine. What's this puppet show over here with the missus? It's God using the glory of the man, which is her, 1 Corinthians 11, 7, to let him know in all his dullness, things are not fine. And then he goes, she just got problems. And it's like, just asking, but are we still allowed to let the Bible determine and discern and show us what the problems are or not? Because if we are, the problems are you, man. Every time. And the duller the husband, you'll notice, just do an inventory. People you know. duller the husband, the more sensitive the wife. Unless the wife has joined that husband in hardening her heart and not caring anymore. And they're obvious too. And that's a great gift. See, my dog loves me and is all excited for no reason at all. But Shao will track my relationship with God. That's very helpful. I can see why Zena, my dog, is not my suitable helper. Because even if I just killed three people, Zena loves me. And she's all excited. And I can snow Zena. I can't snow Shao. That's invaluable. Get confident that you are one. Whether you acknowledge that you're one or not, you are. And it shows. It shows. I know how your husband's doing because I look at you. Tells me all I need to know. Yikes. And that's why your husband wants you to be nice for Saturday. You can melt down and be your old terrible self on Sunday at SeaWorld. And that's why God is like, tell it out, sister. Save this poor guy's soul. He's duller than a fence post and getting duller by the moment. Tell it out. You're one. You're the one who speaks. In many ways, you're the herald of the household. The herald goes out first. Boom, the herald. It's like a newspaper, or Paul was a herald. Boom, da-da-da, the trumpet. La, 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 la. You're the herald of the household. Really, God has set up. You're the glory. You're the first. You're the first to show signs of cracking. You're the first to show signs of power and strength and victory, defeat and weakness. Right? Moment to moment. We got to watch within the hour. That's good. Zena's not like that. What's Zena doing? Sleeping. Now what's Zena doing? Sleeping. Now what's Zena doing? Hungry. So how are you doing, brother? I don't know. Zena's not a good barometer. Ladies, be confident that you are one. Whether Bozo realizes it or not, you are. And tell it out the way it is. You are desperately needed. Desperately needed in this. Colossians chapter 2. Last verse. Colossians 2. Last thing, hey, we're not covering everything. This is all in no particular order. It is what it is. We could go on all day, right? I'm just trying to spur you on into your Bible. Stuff's all throughout the Bible. You like read your own stuff. We go all day, but godly men, number 5, I guess, godly men have to be built. They have to be built, just as disciples have to be made. Right? Jesus said, go make disciples. He didn't say, go find some. Hey, you disciple there in red? Sure. Amen. Rock on, man. You're a disciple, you're going to have to go make a disciple. So, sorry. And godly men have to be built. Clearly, we're not coming about this naturally. Naturally, we're coming about death and destruction. And wishing for the single days. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Hey, this should be your man. He's going to have to be built. Verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Do you remember receiving Jesus, Lord? You said Jesus is Lord. I challenge you and come at you, boys, because you said Jesus is Lord. And I'm sorry I took you seriously. Not many people say Jesus is Lord as a disciple of Jesus and get in the water. But you did, so I take you seriously. Do you remember? Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Come on now. What happened? Come on now. sorely missing in the ministry. I really need it this summer. You got to lay it on me, all right? I'm a long way away. Matt will be scribing tonight, and from here forward, Phil has handed the reins to Matt. He'll be scribing. Prepare yourself. Matt is going to live by the standard of what would Trent want to know. Ha-ha. Well, at least that's what I requested. A scribe can do anything he wants. It's the beauty of being the scribe. There are a lot of non-beauties about being a two. Just talk to Phil. Anyway, rooted and built up in him. I generally hear things like, oh, I'm kind of sinning in a lot of bad ways, but, you know, it's okay. I'll get used to it. Hey, I'm doing better. Hey, it's craziness over here, craziness. I'm ready to give up, and that's about it. I'm okay now. We don't like each other, hate each other. We're ready to fall away, considering falling away. It's okay. And I'm like, see, I'm sorry, I read the Bible. I know the thing to be, men and women, it's all in the Bible, but I'm particularly talking about the boys right now, is that as you continue to live in Jesus, you're to be rooted and built up in him. And I'm looking for the roots in those reports, and I'm not seeing them. I would like to know the conviction that got you through that, that we may not visit that again, and that when those winds come at 1.5 to 2 miles an hour next time in your spiritual life, you won't flop over, but will withstand them. And I would like reports from people as to what is being rooted, what roots are being built, what convictions are being had, that I may have confidence in you. Because I'm troubled generally for all of you, except the people who live in my house and the evangelist, and Papa all the time. I think I have a handle on Papa, and the evangelists aren't going anywhere. And my house isn't going anywhere. The rest of you make me very nervous. Because you're to be rooted and built up in him. I'd like to know how you got bulked up. I've been going to the gym. I hear more reports about people going to the gym or exercising or gonna exercise or did exercise or would have and thought about it but couldn't or something. Anyway, I hear more about exercise than I hear about you actually being built up in him. I'd love to hear reports that, by golly, I got my Bible open and in, you know, Nehemiah chapter 2, I read this. I was deeply convicted about this. I changed these things. And I will update you on this every Monday, whether you want it or not. Whoa, yeah, I'm not going to worry about Jeff today. That'd be great. Because you are to be rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith, strengthened, strong. I'm not getting a lot of strength reports. I'm doing great. And the roots are, oh, I don't know, no time for that. The reports are, I don't know. And what the thing is, when you're doing great, I hear that a lot. Oh, I'm doing great, or I'm doing good. What benefit did the body of Christ receive while you were doing great or good? Typically, no difference between when you're doing lousy, ready to give it up, and when you're doing great. There's no difference in the body of Christ coming from you. And that's why God's like, wow, I give to you, and you hold on to it, don't share it, don't give it, clunk, down you go again. And it's just the Bible happening to you. I'd like to know what roots you're putting down, just as you were taught, and you get taught here, man. Verse 7, just as you were taught, you get taught here. And overflowing with thankfulness. I'd like to hear the overflow of thankfulness. Typically I hear that from Jeff and Adore. Few others here and there, but not from the usual suspects of grumblers, right? The usual grumble crowd, I just never hear the thankfulness. It's like, I remember when Angel and Sharon got their divorces, my only response was, and just to be clear, got their reversals of their fraudulent marriages perpetrated for money against the state of Florida. Just so no one thinks that divorce is okay, because it's not. So once they reversed the fraud that they had encountered, my only appeal was, hey, may this forever make you thankful. And oh, they were quick, oh, we'll always be thankful forever. Lasted about 72 hours. And they're not alone. I would like the overflowing of thankfulness to demonstrate roots and strength and being built up. Tell it out, sister, please. And your man has got to be in accordance with 1 Peter 3:15. He has always got to be prepared to give an answer to everyone for the hope that he has, and to do it with gentleness and respect. That's the standard. So your man is supposed to, with gentleness and respect, stand in there with everyone who asks questions of him to account for the hope that he has in Christ. And your man is far short of that. Boy, one more question, I was ready to hit the car. If Pat's next door neighbor comes over and has a question of you, you are to answer it with gentleness and respect. Your brother in Christ asks you something about the Bible and you're ready to hit the car? Sisters, ladies, wives, your men are in desperate need of you telling it out, because that is where they are spiritually, and it cannot be. And even worse than hitting the car is it just going in one ear and out the other and forgotten, or being in a notebook. Well, that notebook's full. Let me get another one. Did you ever read that or heed it or follow up? No. No time for that. Your man must live in accordance with 1 Peter 3:15, and your man does not. Your man is supposed to grow like Colossians 2:6-7, and he does not. You know it, you see it, you live it every day. I don't want to move in with you, but if you don't tell it out, I might have to. Trent lives with us. Sadly, see, Plum's excited. Yay, the legs are moving in, yay! See, that's how sad that is. Some of the women are like, come on over. It's like, no, that's a rebuke, right? You know, you're with me? Yeah, it's a rebuke that I would move over. Tell it out. I don't need to move over. I believe you. Paul said of Chloe and her household and the other reports of divisions, and to some extent, I believe it. LaShawn came to ladies' night, had a report. I called Sultan. I said, brother, not to put it too severely, but I believe it. And he said, it's all true, brother. Well, amen. LaShawn has led the way in telling it out. But most of the brothers are not like Sultan, and they do not hand themselves in. Xiao can say anything she wants to say anytime she wants to say it. She wants to report about me or anything going on in the household, she is free to do it. We are one. I think that's a beautiful thing. One of two things will happen. She'll either save my soul by doing it and keep me from being dull and going over the edge. You dull people are in trouble because Matthew 7 is going to happen. Lord, Lord, did we not drive out demons in your name and do many miracles in your name? Lord, Lord. She's like, I never knew you. And it comes as a shock to those people that have the kingdom of heaven shut in their face when they die. And I don't want to be so dull as to be shocked that, really? So I need my boo mama to tell it out, that I may sharpen up a little. Tell it out, say it. Anything you got to say to anybody. It's not like, oh, Shaw was talking to Nana about me and it wasn't all flattering. Oh, I'm going to have to talk to her and tighten it up. Maybe that's not wise to talk to Nana like that. Tell it out, honey, tell it out. Nobody's had it worse than Jesus and Shaw has. She got a story to tell. Tell it out. If she's wrong, it's a rebuke to me that she's talking gibberish. I'm her head. She's talking gibberish, a reflection of me. That either I haven't helped her with it or need to do so now. There's no downside in this. So when your husband's like, honey, I don't like these new rules. There's no downside, honey, except you just don't look so good. But you know what? Go ahead and do a straw poll. Who thought brother so-and-so looked good? No, 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 no. If we ask maybe one of the kids might mercifully say, sure. Women, you don't have to be right. Okay? Try to be right and all that. Pray, fast, get serious. This is not a ministry of women either. It's a ministry of God. Lot's wife was clearly wrong. God demonstrated that. Job's wife, clearly wrong, and God spoke of it. It's possible to be a wife and be wrong. It's possible to have a husband sharp enough to help you. That'd be great. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, this tropical storm. Thank you for this ministry and our time together tonight, still to come. I thank you for the lightheartedness of the ministry at a time of great humility and at a time of instruction that we need from you.
Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters tonight and forever that they will be rooted, built up, strengthened in Jesus with an overflow of thankfulness, not needs or complaints. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.